God, we come before you today singing a song like this with great conviction and great joy, knowing how faithful you have been in our lives. You are the faithful God. And Lord, your faithfulness is new every morning. Your mercies are new every morning. And we want to thank you for that right now, right here, that no matter where we've been this week, no matter where we were yesterday, that your mercies are new today. And no matter how many sins that we've had, Lord, your mercy is greater still. And we're grateful for that today. And Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that as we open your word and we consider things like this today, as we consider your faithfulness, as we consider your generosity, as we consider, Lord, the wonderful things that you've done in our lives. And Lord, what does that mean for us today? We ask, Lord, that we'd live it out. God, come as we open your word and ask that you might just shed your grace on us so that this grace might be shed abroad by your people. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, it's good to be back at Cottonwood, and it's good to be back in Texas. We were on a family vacation. Well, I actually had a couple of things going last week. I had a wedding over the weekend, last weekend, of a nephew, and then we headed down to the coast. And you know, one of the things that I was doing one morning was just kind of preparing the message that was kind of based on what we preached on a couple of weeks ago, and something just really began to stir in my heart that I want to share with you today. And the stirring was this, that I was just recounting all the things God has done. Now, you think about a couple of weeks ago, do you remember when I said, if he calls you to it, he'll equip you for it? You remember me saying that? Amen? Isn't that great? If he calls you to it, he'll equip you for it, okay? And that's not just ministry, right? I mean, if he calls you to forgive your brother, he's equipped you to do that, right? I mean, he has. I mean, everything that God asks you to do is not a burden, according to 1 John. Why? Because he equips you to do whatever he calls you to do. And so I was just kind of busy with that and moving in with that. And then at some point during the week, we were on the beach, and we had and I was going back to the place just a little bit earlier than some of them. And I came up on this hill, not hill, but just this dune. I think that's what you call them. That's what you call hills on the beach, right? Dunes. And so, and I looked back and I could see my family. And little ones were playing, and the adults were playing with their kids, and some of them were in the surf. And I was just overwhelmed by God's goodness to my life. And just overwhelmed, and I just sat there just in awe of God's great grace to me. And when I woke up the next morning, and I was doing what I just said, preparing for this message, I one of the things that I just blurted out on the porch was, "My God is a very generous God. He is a generous, generous God." When you think of his mercy and his grace and what you and I do not deserve in this life, our God is a God of generosity. And I began just writing these things out in my journal, and then I redid them in my journal because I don't know, you know that I run a thank you list, and I'm on thank you number 3804, okay? And I want to just share with you just real briefly what just came out of my heart and came out of my, onto this journal. When I think about my God who has so abundantly supplied everything that I am and everything that I need, he abundantly does that. And I think about him giving me his only begotten son, Jesus. I think about my wonderful wife, John Ann, and this terrific marriage. At least I think so, right? Okay, this terrific marriage. I think about my children, my son and my daughters, my eight grandchildren, my terrific mother and father, a brother who can boil crawfish. Okay, all right. My brother and my sister who are so gracious that we get to do a little bit of life together. I think about my gracious and loving mother-in-law and father-in-law. I think about this long, satisfying ministry.
ministry. I think about just how God has met every need at every moment, even though I thought maybe he wasn't meeting that need. But he was meeting the need at every single turn and moment. Do you catch what I'm saying today? Our God's a generous God. And my story's your story. It just looks a little different. It's the same story, how God over and over and over provides everything that we need in this life. I was thinking about how God saved me at 8, called me at 10, and then I got to begin that fulfilled call at 17 years old. I'm 59 years old today. Not today, but I'll be 60 here in a couple months. But I think about just that saving grace of God and how he gave me hope and in the days that I thought were hopeless and strength when I thought I was too weak. And I think about the grace and the favor and the loving kindness and the purpose and the meaning. And then I think about just this wonderful staff God has given us. Listen, I was just kind of looking at when we've all been together for a lot of years. Do you know, if you're staff, would you just stand right now? I just want to just say this. If you're staff right now, okay. Where's everybody else? I think everybody else is crawfish boy. Stand up for a minute. Do you know how many years combined this staff has at Cottonwood? 147 years combined of ministry experience. Thank you, baby seed. 147 years of experience. Now, we haven't all been here 147 years, right? But together, in this ministry together. And I think about the elders that we started an elder-led body 20 years ago. And I think of all the men that have served and all the men that we had met with through all these years. And to this day, I'm telling you, to this day, I can say when I'm in an elders meeting, this pastor is in the safest place on earth. It's your elders. It's your leadership. I think about the women that serve on budget committees and the women in our lives, in our midst, that just go overboard serving, that God has given to us, that God has given to our church. I think about the families that have come through the years. I think of God giving us resources and money to bless people truly in need. I think about the houses we've lived in or the land we've purchased or inherited and how God has blessed us with that. And you know, when I think about money and I think about houses and I think about land and I think about provision, you know, the French have a term and they call it lagniappe. It's like the baker's dozen. And lagniappe means a little something extra, right? And so I look at the property and I look at the land and I look at the houses and I look at the things that God's given. That's just lagniappe. That's just a little something extra that God's given you. When you think about all the generous things that God has done in a very generous way for you and me. And I just want to say that this is what we worship. This is the God we worship. The God who gives and keeps on giving and keeps on giving. And I'm just telling you, these are the things that I was just overwhelmed with. I think about God giving the Spirit without measure. Now, listen, he gives the Spirit without measure, but when you say that, you get to say this. He gives me the Spirit without measure. Can you say that? He gives me the Spirit without measure. He gives me these things. So gracious, so loving. I think about how he's given me his word. Listen to me. He has given you and me his voice. You're his voice. And then he gives you your own unique voice. I think about how God stirs us and has given us, I don't know, this the creativity that he's given to us, the way that we get to see life. He's blessed me with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. He's given us protection. Yeah, I know some things we've lost and some things we've had to let go of, but our God has done this great work. He has given forgiveness. He's forgiven us every single day, giving us every single day a new day. He's given us gifts, given me gifts and callings. He's given leadership. He's given wonderful words of life. He is a faithful, faithful God who has given us family and friends and church family. He is a generous, gracious God. That's my God. Is this your God? He's a generous God. You know, as I was looking at Scripture from this point, I see a God in Psalm 145:16 who opens His hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. In James 1, we see that our God, He gives to all generously and without reproach. In Matthew 7:11, we find the good Father who is in heaven, who gives good gifts to those who ask Him. He gives the Holy Spirit, according to Luke, to those who ask Him. He is the Father of God, the Father of lights. And while the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus came to give us life and give it abundantly. Abundant life. This God is a generous God. He is generous to you. And no matter where you are in this life or whatever you think you are, whatever position, I want to tell you, God has been generous. And maybe that's what you need to do. Bible talks or a great hymn that talks about count your many blessings. That's what I've just done. I just counted my blessings. I just counted the gifts and the things that God has done and given to me all my life. And again, I just say this again with all conviction. I know most of you. And again, this story, my story, is your story. Because we serve and live and have been birthed by the same generous God. And I'm not alone in His generosity. This great God whose hand has extended to us and has given to us everything that we need in this life. And I think about how God gave His Son, that God gave what? His first and His best. He gave us Jesus. We know the verse. It's the most popular verse in Scripture. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever is believing into Him will never perish, but will have everlasting life. God gave His firstborn, His one and only. He gave His best. He gave Himself. And I love the verse. I love the verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He who did not spare His own Son, but He delivered Him over for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? So here's this God who gave His first and best, and then He decided to give us the rest. And you and I stand here today and sit in this place today, recipients of the grace and the gifts and the life of God. When He gave you Jesus, when He gave me Jesus, that became enough. But all of a sudden we find that He came and He gave more and more and more. When I think about giving us Jesus, He gives us eternal life. He gives us His Holy Spirit. And the Bible says He gives that without measure. He gives us His Word. Listen, in John chapter 7, John, am I going too quick for you? John 17, 14 says, I have given them your Word. I want to ask the question. At this particular point, do you realize how great this indescribable gift of God's Word is? I mean, it will tell you how to live. It will show you how to respond. It will show you what to do with your finances, what to do with your spouse. It'll tell you, show you what to do with your children. It'll tell you to do with an ungodly employer. It'll tell you what to do with your employees. It'll show you life. It's an indescribable gift. But then he goes on, he says, this word will sanctify you. It'll make you holy. It'll make you like Jesus. This word lasts, watch, forever. The grass fades, the flower falls. But His word lives forever. along with God in all of his glory, this word that he's given to you. And then you'll see how this word will wash you, how this word will instruct you, how this word will come and give you a happy heart, a restored soul, a wise mind. I mean, you think about God giving you eyes to see and ears to hear. That's what the word of God does. This isn't an indescribable gift. Let me ask you a question. What do you do with indescribable gifts? What do you do with them? What do you do with this one? What are you doing with this gift? Because I know there's a lot of you that got five or six of them laying around your house today. Is that right? Five or six. And I want to ask the question, if this is a gift that God has given to you that'll change your life every single day, are you doing more than just giving a casual read of one or two verses every other day or every 3 days or every 4 days? Or is it just something that you take off the shelf and bring with you to church? And most of the time, you don't even have to use it because it comes up on the screen. I ask the question. I'm asking the question. Are these indescribable gifts from the generous hand of our God? Is it? It is. And I think I could go on and on and on. Matter of fact, I'll go on a little more. I mean, I think about God giving us his power. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and discipline. He's given us gifts. He's given all of us gifts of his spirit. He extends his grace. And then again, you think about all the lanyap, your family, the provision of God, the ability that he gives you, your health, the jobs, the freedom that you have, all the things he says to enjoy. You think about his church, and then you think about his kingdom, where he says, don't be afraid, little flock. My Father wants to give you the kingdom of God. Our God is a generous God. Our God, my God, is a generous, loving, good God. And he's my God. And if you know Jesus, he is your God. He's generous. You know, as I was thinking about this since Wednesday morning, mulling over it, and I think about this great, generous God who speaks to me. And I want to promise you, just out of that, I've just been hearing this word. Hey, Mike, just be generous. Like me, be generous. I mean, isn't that what we're supposed to do with God? I mean, when we think God's love, aren't we supposed to reflect love? If God is merciful, don't you think we need to reflect the mercy of God? Is that not our calling? Is that not our purpose? Is that not what we say all the time, that we're created to reflect the goodness and glory of God? And I'm just hearing, hey, just be generous. Just be generous. If I believe that God is generous and he has supplied everything that I need to be generous, then I need to be, by the power of God, generous. I don't know about you, but have you ever seen a happy, stingy person? Are stingy people happy? No, they're stingy. And that can be just a synonym to stingy, unhappy. I think I just made that up. But it's true. Stingy people aren't happy people. Generous people are very happy people. And I'm not talking about rich people. Some of the most generous people I've ever met are the poorest people you'll ever meet. Amen? You've heard giving the shirt off your back? It's what they do. People from this body have walked villages that are the poorest of the poor in the entire world. And yet, will kill their last duck and their last chicken and their last whatever to feed me. generosity. And you know, they're lost. They don't know Jesus. They don't know God. They don't have a personal relationship with God. But yet, here the poorest people who are lost, never heard the word of Jesus, still reflecting the generous God of the universe. And if I'm not a generous man, and if I'm not, and you're not a generous man or woman, you're not reflecting God. Again, it's not about how much money you have or how much you have. It's this, you're just generous. And so I'm just hearing this. Just be generous. Just be generous to John Ann. Just be generous to your children. Just be generous to your grandchildren. Just be generous to your people, whoever your people are right now, right here. Just be genuine. Generous. Be generous to your employer. Be generous to your employees. Just be generous. And I want to come to an end of my life or my ministry to say, oh, I've pastored a very generous people. And you are very generous. But every time you give an encouraging word, and every time you give of your resources, and every time you give what God asks you to give of your life, you're reflecting the God who gives, the God who is generous. Do you know what my message is about today? It's about the generous God. That's what it is. And his generous people. You know what I love about Scripture? You know, you can look at a Scripture and you can apply it in many ways, right? I mean, it's got one meaning, but you can apply it in many ways. You know, I love the verse that says that a believer cannot continue in his sin because his God's seed abides in him, okay? The seed abides. And that seed, when you think about it in that way, the seed of God abides in me. Whose seed is that? It's God's seed. And it's got all the DNA of God. Because it's the seed. And when I think about it, I could say, God is in that seed of mine. I can't help but be merciful and compassionate. Why? Because his seed abides in me. I can't help but be good. I can't to people. I can't help but be kind. I can't help but forgive. Why? Because his seed abides in me. And when I think about it in that way, I want to tell you, your life becomes a limitless life of being able to reflect the goodness, the glory of God. And I want to tell you, that's where you'll find your joy. I'm not talking about God all the time taking away the trouble from you when you want the trouble to be taken away from you. But what I am talking about, that when you're in the trouble, there's still a joy, and there's still a hope, and there's still a life that you're living that is far, far above anything that you could ever imagine. Why? Because his seed abides in you. And if my God's generous, I got the generous seed. You got the generosity seed in you. But I think what happens is that we worry about our stuff and our finances and the things that God's done or God's given, and we worry about them. And what happens is we start holding it on instead of giving it away. Did God give it away? He gave it away to you and me. He gave it away. Why? What happens when God gave his firstborn? When God gave his firstborn Jesus, do you know what happens after that? People get born again. And he doesn't just have one and only son. He's got the firstborn. And guess what? All of us in here, we're not the firstborn, but we've been born again because he gave his firstborn. He gave his first and he gave his best. And as a result, we become like that. And he becomes our father. Jesus, yes, he's our Lord, but he's also our brother. The Bible says it, he's our brother. And we come from the same stock. And I just love that. It gives me such hope. It gives me such confidence. Our God is a very generous God who gave his first and best, and then he gave us the rest. And so my second word for us today is, let's just be generous. Let's just be generous. Let's not hold the blessing. Let's give it away. Let's give the blessing away. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm kind of debating whether to say this. I think I've done this years and years ago. But I had a dream once. It was a baseball dream. I don't know why. I don't like baseball. It's just too slow for me, okay? I like the playoffs, okay? It was a baseball dream. And it was a black and white dream. I usually dream in color. I mean, I just do. Sometimes I dream in HD, okay? I don't know. I dreamed all night last night. Can't tell you what I dreamed, but I want to tell you I remember this dream. Black and white dream. It's a manly dream. It seems like a prideful dream, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway because it spoke to my heart. I've had two dreams like this in my entire life, maybe three. But this dream, I was in a crowded stadium, old-timey, black and white, and it was packed. And have you ever been to a ball game early and they're at batting practice? How many of you have seen batting practice? Raise your hand. And you know how they're just cracking the bat and it keeps coming? Well, I got these balls coming, and I'm hitting them. And I'm hitting them long and far in my dream. And I mean, they're just all, and people are going nuts, people are going crazy. Like I say, it's a man dream. Right? And then I look at the mound, and God's pitching to me. It's God. And he's dressed up in an old-timey baseball uniform, but I know it's God because he's floating about that much over the barn. And in my dream, listen to that, I've only done this one time in my dream. And in my dream, I asked God, oh God, what does this mean? In my dream, I said, what does this mean in my dream? So he said, in my dream, he said, these things that I'm pitching to you are the blessings of life. I'm pitching blessings to you. Everything that I give you from my hand is a blessing, and I'm pitching it to you. And listen, I'm asking you not to hoard them. I'm not asking you to take the blessing and put them in your pocket. I mean, wouldn't that be a ridiculous thing a baseball player would do with bat, hold it, and put it in his pocket? That'd be the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. Amen? I mean, he wouldn't be a baseball player if he did that. I want you to hit it out of the park. And I want you to, every blessing, I want you to go. I don't want you to hoard it. I want you to give it away. This was years ago. This is before 2000. This is before 1999. And one day I was traveling. We were in Oklahoma, and I told a good friend, a friend that had come to this, he and his family had come to this church, gosh, when we were just 40 people. And I told him the dream. And he said, Mike, I just think that not only are the blessings that God wants to send out of the park, but maybe those are all the people that you'll send one day to the field. And I went, we're not going to the field. We're not doing any of that. And I just kind of tucked that away. Well, 20 years ago, we went to the field. And I just want to tell you, we have sent over 500 people on either short-term or long-term trips to China alone. And many of you in this place have gone. And I just kind of think about that sometimes. I think about that dream and about all the blessings that God has done. And then to have this friend of mine saying, well, could it be this? And to say, yeah. We don't want to keep the blessing. We want to give the blessing away. Let me tell you, that's in a lot of different areas. But I want to give you three areas or four areas that we can do be generous with. And the first is obvious. It's our life. It's our life. And when I give my life away, okay. When I look at 1 John 3:16, he says, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. He gave us his life. And we ought to what? Lay down our lives for the brethren. But notice what he says. But whoever has this world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? We know love by this, that he laid down his life. This generous God. And you know, I don't spend a whole lot of time applying that, but just this. This is just what I'm asking you to do today. Lord, here's my life. I lay it down. And as I walk through life this week, you show me where I gotta lay down, where I need to lay down my life and give my life to somebody. You know, I'm not talking about dying for somebody right now. That may happen one day. But just, God, what could I do to lay down my life this week? to lay down my pride, to lay down my anger, to lay down my selfishness, to lay down whatever it is that's holding me back from living a generous life, of reflecting the generous God. And I think a good question to ask is, God, am I generous with my life? Am I generous with my life? Second, be generous with your time and your gifts, because this shows the faithfulness of God. With your time and your gifts. God's given us all the same amount of time in this life. Every one of us has the same time this week, today. And what am I going to do with my time? Do I waste my time, or do I use the time for the glory of God? And then he's given us gifts. You know, the Bible says this. It says it in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. He says, so then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Now, there's a great story in Acts chapter 9 about this. And I want you to turn to it. It's the illustration of Tabitha, or Dorcas, okay? A saint of God, okay, who dies. And I want you to turn there for just a moment. Acts chapter 9, verse 36. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek is called Dorcas. This woman, watch this, was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. Now, folks, it may not use the word generous here, but let's all agree, Tabitha lived a generous life, right? I mean, if she's abounding in good deeds and charity, that means she's just not feeling it, she's doing it. And I think that's sometimes the problem that we have in this life. We feel compassionate, but we don't do compassion. She did it. She saw a need, it stirred her heart, and she did it. And so she's abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, not which she continually did, and it happened at that time that she fell sick and she died. And when they washed her body, they laid it in an upper room. So Lydda was near Joppa. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him, imploring him, do not let delay in coming to us. So Peter arose, went with them, and when he arrived, they brought him into the upper room. Now watch. And all the widows, love this, all the widows, all of them, they stood beside him weeping and showing all the tunics and all the garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them. Abounding in loving kindness, abounding in good deeds, abounding in charity. What did she do? She was generous. Now I want you to notice something. There's a couple of things going on in here with Tabitha. One of them is, first of all, she's a woman of faith. She believes, okay? Second, she's gifted and talented. Apparently here, she's talented with sewing and sewing a bunch. Clothes making, okay? She makes clothes. She makes tunics, which are undergarments, and then she makes the coats. And so it's just not just one thing. It's a bunch of things. And this is what she's done. And she's done it continually, the Bible says. She's generous. She's generous with her time. She's generous with her talent. She's generous with her money. Because it takes money to buy cloth. It takes time to do it, right? And it takes a certain knowledge and a gift to make it. And this woman is known for her good deeds, her charity, her life. She's generous. And I look at this and I say, how generous am I with my time and my talent and my resources? How genuinely generous am I? And then look at verse 40. And Peter sent them all out, and he knelt down and he prayed, and turning to the body, isn't that great? He turned to the body, he turned to the carton, he turned to the shell. Why? Because there's no life in her. Just an empty shell, an empty house. He goes to the body and he says, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up, calling the saints, the widows, and he presented her alive. Amen. Amen. This wonderful woman who gave of her time, her talent, her resources. Third, be generous with your words that edify, build up, and encourage. Now, you know, I think of all the things that we're going to talk about, because I got one more point. All the things we talk about, this can be the hardest. I don't know why. But I think so many times we live in a life that's just, it's just got a bent to criticism, to being critical and to being judgmental. Isn't that right? I mean, there's just a bent there. And I'm afraid that some of us are more critical and judgmental than we are encouraging and edifying. And I'm just saying, hey, we need to be a people that are generous with our words and our encouragement. I mean, all the things that you see that God says about us, isn't that encouraging? Isn't that edifying? It is. God's the God who edifies. He's a generous God with his words. Tells us who we are. Tells us how he thinks of us. I mean, he's a great God like that. And we need to be imitating him about that on a daily basis. To seek to give words that edify, to build up, encourage, not tear down. Not be critical of, not be judgmental of, not to discourage, but to encourage. And I want to ask the question, how generous have you been with your words? To your spouse, to your children, to your grandchildren, to your people. Our God's a generous God. He gave his first and his best. He gave us the rest. And I'm just saying, hey, let's just be generous. Let's just be generous with our life, with our time, with our talent, with the things that God has given us, with our words that edify and build up and encourage. Here's a little assignment. When you get in the car today, try to go the rest of the day and into the morning without saying one critical word about anything or anyone. Do you think you could do that? And then why don't you just do it through the rest of the day? Because I don't know about you. I mean, I have a propensity to do that. And so do you. You have a propensity to be critical, judgmental, not build up. And you'll talk about somebody, or I'll talk about somebody, or you'll talk about something, or you'll do all these things to talk about how this person is this, and this person is that, and this person isn't this, and this person isn't that. And that just person just drives me crazy. When I need to be encouraging and building up folks. Fourth, be generous with your resources. With your resources, it proves that God is faithful. Now I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 on this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And go real brief. And we'll take the next 5, 6, 7 minutes and talk about money. Okay? We're going to talk just a little bit about money and resources. I love this passage of scripture because the context is about giving and meeting needs. It is about taking your money and giving it to someone in need or to some kind of need around you. That's what the context is. And what I love about this is that there's a group of poor Christians living in Jerusalem because of a famine. And so all the churches around the Mediterranean are collecting offerings, and they're doing it every Sunday, okay? Every Sunday they're taking it so that when somebody comes, they'll be ready with the gift to get to take it and to sail on to Jerusalem or sail on to the Holy Land and then to go into Jerusalem and give this money to the saints that are suffering in Jerusalem. And this is what he says. He says, listen, I say this, verse 6, chapter 9, verse 6. I say, he who sows... And we can just say gives or blesses. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now listen, bountifully and reap and bountifully and sparingly are relative terms across the scale of who has what, who has and who hasn't, what would be bountifully for you to give to God's work? And what would be sparingly to give? Based upon who you are, what God's given, and the ability that God's given you to do what you do. What's bountifully and what's sparingly? That's a good question to ask. It's a good question for me to ask. Lord, because I'm just going to tell you this. I grew up, my mom teaching us to give 10% to the church. And I've done that all my life. All my life. I'm going to tell you, it's easy to do that when you do it all your life. Okay? But when you don't do it all your life, and all of a sudden you're going to give at least 10% to church or to whatever, that's hard. It's difficult. I know that. I understand that. But I'm just going to tell you this, is that was the starting point for me. And I think what happened with me also was the tithe became the legalistic thing that I needed to do every week or every time I got a paycheck. And I lost the idea of love, generosity, and obedience because I got caught up in that. Okay? So at some point, I got to tell you, it was easy to give the tithe. It was hard to give over. It was hard to give an offering. And I just, you know, and I would do it. I'd tithe. Some of us might tithe, you know, $25.22. They just round it off. Okay? They look at this so particular. And what I'm saying to you today is that God began to do this work of what does it mean to be generous? What does it mean to go above and beyond in my giving, of my time, and my talent, in my words, and my money? And but he says this right here. He says, listen, if he uses an agricultural term. He says, listen, if you sow sparingly, if you sow, you want to grow corn, and you just sow three rows, and you know you got to do rows for it to pollinate for corn, so you do three or four, you're just going to get three or four rows of corn. But if you sow what, an acre, 2 acres, 4 acres of seed, of corn seed, and you do it right, guess what? You're going to have that much corn. I mean, you think that, what do you think about that? You think, well, that just makes sense because we've seen it all our lives. Well, he's talking not about corn seed. He's talking about the things that you give as seed, whether it's your money. In this context, it's money, whether it's your time, your talent, your words. I think about this scripture, and I think it's so powerful. But notice what he says in verse 7. So each must do just as he purposed in his heart. Watch. Not grudgingly or under compulsion. Why? Because God loves a cheerful giver. Now watch. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. And then he says, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. And he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply, watch, and multiply your seed, watch, for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. And you will be enriched in everything by all your liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. He says, listen, you're sowing, you're giving. And in this context, yes, it's money. He says, listen, what you have, you purpose in your heart to give it. You purpose. Okay, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do with my words. This is what I'm going to do with my time. This is what I'm going to do with my talent. This is what I'm going to do with my money. And I purpose it in my heart. And I do it out of faith and obedience to meet the need to demonstrate love so that people can glorify God and give thanksgiving for your bountiful gift. And notice the promise. The promise is, and you know what my God does? My God give you more seed to sow. More seed. This is not about getting rich. It's not even about having your needs met, because Bible promises going to meet your needs. This is about having more to be generous with. This is what he says. He says this, right? He says it. We serve a great and generous God who gave his first, best, and the rest. Just be generous. Not grudgingly, not mournfully. Listen, just out of this place that says, oh God, I'm going to do this because Because, Lord, I want to do it. I want to be generous. I love what he says in the end. Can you go to the next slide? Yeah, the next one. Not under compulsion, not forced by duty or custom, but give it with cheerfulness. The word is hilarious. What word do you think we get that? What word? Hilarious. I go to the plate. I go to write the check to whatever with a hilarious attitude and spirit because I know what God's asking me to do. I give with my words. I give with my I give my time and my talent with such cheerfulness, not grudgingly, not mournful. Oh, I got to give this. No, I get to give this. I get to do this. And you know what I get to do? I get to expect a return on what I've given. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? A return on what I've given. It never ceases to amaze me that the scripture always seems to be fulfilled when Jesus said it in Luke chapter 6. It's Luke's copy or his thought of his translation or interpretation of the Sermon on the Mount. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. This will pour into your lap. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. There's power in generosity, folks. If I give my positive words, the scripture says it'll be given back to me. If I give my money, resources, it'll be given back to me. It'll come back. It always comes back. And it comes back in various ways, but I know that when it comes back, I know what it is. And I thank my God for people in my life, like my mother, my mom, who taught me this principle when I was just little bitty. And I'm grateful for families and parents who will teach their children to give. To know that we give our lives, we give our words, we give our time, we give our talent, we give our gifts, we give our resources. And we hit it out of the park. We give it back. How generous are you? How generous have you been? How generous will you be? Oh God, thank you for being this generous God. And thank you for inspiring us to be generous. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know why you give cheerfully? Because you know. You just know. You just know that you get to be a part of this great and loving God. And my prayer for us today is that we would worship and reflect the generous God who is always generous. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's pray. Let me bless you. And I hope that you'll come be a part of our crawfish boil today. One of the things that we do is some of you have done some things for us. You've given some things to auction off. And so there'll be a little auction there. We'll have a little fun with that. But this time, we use this time to raise some money for all our folks going overseas to just kind of help them with their trips. And so it's kind of a double pay for us because we get to get together in fellowship. We get to eat together. We get to have community together. Get to talk, visit, and we get to have a little fun together. Okay, so I hope that you'll come and be a part of that, all right? Let me bless you, and then we'll be dismissed. Lord, bless you, keep you. Yeah, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you his great peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding. The great peace of God that we get to walk in with him and with one another. This peace that is a ministry and word of reconciliation. May this peace rest upon you and your family and all that you do always in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's go fellowship. Thank you.